Baptist or any or Pentecostal or anything or Catholic or anything. We're talking about salvation means that God moves in you. And if God moves in you, His glory moves in you. Now the problem is this. People have trouble seeing that glory, don't they? Because of what's on the outside. Isn't that what the Bible says? Christ in you is the hope of... Let's just remember that God lives in us. Let's try to live that way. Let's talk that way. Let's walk that way. Let's have the compassion of Christ. Let's have the concern of Christ for others. The Bible says esteeming others greater than yourself. That's what he's talking about. And then he goes on to say this. He says, and this is just, I tell you what, I've had such a time. You can't believe what's going on in my den this week. I mean, I've shouted and I've cried and I've praised and I've just had a good time all week. I have. And because it says, for the earnest expectation of the... Thank you. Y'all are following me, aren't you? I mean, I'm giving this to you, but you are following me, aren't you? For the earnest expectation. Here, if you make notes, make you a note. Here's what that means. Intense anticipation. Intense. Not just to anticipate something, Dwayne. You intensely anticipate something. What? Well, he goes on to say, for the earnest expectation of the creature. Now, the word creature there, it means formation, creation. It means everything that God has created. What is that? Well, that's everything you can see and everything you can't see. It's microisms, it's macroisms. It's everything God created. But something happened. I tell you this, I got this week, and look, it may not mean anything to you, it means everything to me. I thought, well, that sort of sounds familiar. I'm going to go back over to Genesis where it all happened. And so I went back to Genesis chapter 2. And Genesis chapter 2, it says, you know, that God has given them instructions after he formed man, you know, and he says, hey, you till the ground, son, it's going to come up and it's going to be wonderful. I'm paraphrasing now. And then he goes on over there and he says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat it. For the day in which you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. And I'm going to tell you what that is. That's God's law. Y'all have heard that. I don't know how you grew up. Listen, I grew up in Irwin. My dad was a disciplinarian. He believed in a 30-inch belt, and bless Pat, he didn't care to use it. He loved me. He never abused me, but he was going to discipline me, you know. And he would have this saying that he was going to lay down the... and live. If you lived in his house, he owned the breath you breathed, and it was his way. It was his way. He laid down the law. God laid down the law to Adam and Eve, folks. He created a paradise for two people. A paradise. They would never die. Everything they touched came up. Everything was perfect. But he said, I got a law. If you want to keep it that way, don't disobey me. Don't go out there and eat of that tree. And you know that I looked across my page. That was on the left-hand column of my page, just about four verses down. And almost directly across, it says, the serpent said to the woman, thou shalt not surely die. That's not the law. You know what I wrote beneath that verse? I do that in my Bible. By the way, I ordered me a new Bible this week because mine's just about, you know, I've scribbled so much in about I can't tell where I'm at. So I ordered me, I had them on sale. So I said, well, now's the time. So I got me a new one. But I wrote underneath that, the liar and the father of all liars. Folks, he's lying to people. He's lying to people. He's telling them, oh, you won't go to hell. He's telling them, oh, there's no hell. God might have said so, but no. And people are believing it right and left. But here he says this in Romans. He says, for the earnest expectation of the creature or of creation waiteth. Hapamune. Patiently waiting with this intense anticipation. So here's how I got it in my own mind. This is how I remember that verse. Creation with intense anticipation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. What does that mean? The intense anticipation waiteth, or the creation with intense anticipation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. You know what that means? That what you see out here knows that the day is coming when the curse on this earth and on the heavens and on everything around will end. And it waits with great anticipation. For one thing, what's going to show this creation that it's time? The manifestation of the sons of God. What does that mean? When God's children are going to be revealed. You see, we walk around now. I don't know who's them folks. You know, Charles Spurgeon, you remember, he was a great preacher from Scotland. And he preached on, and he believed, you know, they back then they had a lot of Calvinism. And they would get on him because he wasn't hyper-Calvinist. And they would say, well, why don't you preach to the called? If that's what you believe, that it's the called that are saved, why don't you preach to the called? He said, well, if you'll go around and raise everybody's shirt up and so I can see a stamp on them that says called, I will. What his point was, I don't know who the called are. I don't know who's going to respond to God's calling. But when you do, you become a son of God. And better days are coming. I sang that song this morning, how beautiful heaven must be. But folks, everybody's not going there. Everybody's not going there. Now, we can all act pious and holy and righteous and religious and all this stuff if we want to. I beg you not to. I beg you to believe that book that you hold in your hand. That's the only thing you can believe. Don't believe Washington. Don't believe media. Don't believe anybody or anything. Believe that book that you hold in your hand, and I'll guarantee you, if you believe that book, trust that book. But you say, well, Tom, that's the Word of God. You're telling me to trust the Word of God? No. I'm telling you to trust the God of the Word. If you'll trust the God of the Word, you won't have any trouble with the Word of God. See, you can't get it reversed. So then he goes on, and because of that, he says this. That's where I'm picking up. Now, you say, Tom, I thought you was teaching. No, I just catching my neighbors up to speed so they know where we're at. He says, for the creature. Now, what does that word mean? All creation. For the creature was made subject to vanity. Now, when did he do that? Well, when I give you the word, the definition for vanity there, then you'll understand a little more what I was talking about in Genesis. The word vanity there means lacking serviceability. For example, how many of you have ever had the power go off? Well, if you don't live in America. Because everybody's power goes off at some sort. How many of you have ever had your TV go off? You know what that means, don't you? It means the power's not in service and the TV's or the cable's not in service. It means it's of no benefit to you. You can say, I got cable. Well, if the cable's off, what good is it? You can't watch it. You may say, well, I have electricity. Well, if the power's off, you don't. You're sitting there in the dark. And you know what? Everybody keeps these little lights for those occasions. We used to keep candles. Remember back before they got these, little old light bulbs. Brenda, I'll tell you, that's the finest light bulb. Not light bulb, but I'm taking medication for all this. Flashlight. She got me one for Christmas a couple years ago, maybe. Oh, that thing's not that big. I'll tell you what, it shined up this whole room. It's the finest thing since sliced cheese. But it's not electricity. It's not the power. That's why the Bible says that we're here looking through a glass dimly, folks. We're veiled. We're only seeing part of this. There's going to come a time, my belief is not too far away. You believe what you want to. I believe not too far away from now, light's going to come back on. Power's going to come back on. And this ain't going to be shown for just what it is. But that's what it means. But it also means something else. It means homeless. What happened to Adam and Eve after they sinned? They didn't have a home. They were evicted. They were not only evicted. God put up a swirling sword and an angel as a sign you're not coming back in either. Y'all are not picking this up. You just don't walk back into paradise, folks. Now, that would be bad, wouldn't it? That would be bad, wouldn't it? But God's good. You know what he said? He said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to have to put you out. Because you broke my law. And I'm God, I'm holy. If I didn't put you out, I wouldn't be holy anymore. Right. These people think they're going to get by with sin. Listen, God's of pure eyes and behold evil and cannot look upon iniquity. That's his law. But he says, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a way for you to come back. I'm going to bring you back here. And there's only one way I can do it. I'll have to do it myself. I'll have to pay for your sin. I'll have to die for your sin. I'll have to purge your sin. But once I do that, one of these days, the angel will be moved, the sword and the flaming sword will be taken down, and you and I, as children of God, will walk back in to our home. We'll be homeless no more. You know, we have such a homeless deal going on in this country. Nothing breaks my heart more than homelessness, folks. But think about it, and I don't mean this, please don't take this wrong. God knows my heart. Almost all homelessness is brought about by a bad choice. You made a bad choice. Because God's word said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. That's true, folks. I don't believe God's children are homeless anywhere. I don't believe he'd leave his children homeless. I believe if you choose not to have anything to do with God, you could end up homeless in this world. Or you could end up wealthy. It doesn't make any difference whether you're homeless or like, what's his name? Thank you. How'd you know that's a, boy, that's why she's my assistant. She reads my mind like my wife does. Do you read his mind?
No, but I know it pretty well.
Well, I tell you, it's scary. My wife, it's scary. It's scary, isn't it, Beck? She knows. Hey, Danny yesterday, he did some work for us almost 11 years ago. And my wife reminded him that he got some sprigs from our big Japanese maple. And he said, now they're about that high. He said, and you remember that? I said, son, you ought to live with her. She reminds me of things I did 30 years ago, and I say, honey, please. Please, let it go. Yeah, that's a woman saying, let it go. Oh, yeah. Right, Ray? Yeah, let it go. They don't let it go. They're just waiting to hammer you again with it, I know. But then he talks about the creation. And what's going on with the creation is the same thing that's going on with us. If you think about it, I've told you this many a time. I'm not suicidal. I'm not going to Butler Bridge. I'm not going to shoot myself. I'm not going to slash my wrists. I'm not going to overdose with pills. But I got to tell you, Brenda, I'm looking to get out of here. You know why? The hardships and the pain get hard to bear sometimes. Sin destroy lives of family members, of friends. It gets hard. And you know that when he returns, it's going to be a new people in a new place. You remember I told you over there where it says that the Spirit, they are led by the Spirit, then they are the sons of God. You remember that was a few verses back? And remember, what did I tell you about led there? What did I tell you it meant? Oh, come on, please impress them. Oh, it's too late. I'll impress you. It means that he is leading us to a place. We're not just being led in the dark, folks. God's not just leading you. He's leading you to a place. What place? Well, that's in John 14. Everybody knows that place, don't they? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you. I go to prepare. And if I go to prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The Holy Spirit is leading the children of God to a place. And boy, I tell you what, it's like that song. Won't it be wonderful there, having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with harp bells all ringing. Oh, won't it be wonderful there? It will, folks. I'm telling you. So, let's see what it says here. It says this. It says, for we know. That means you have full knowledge. How many of you in here have full knowledge of everything? They call them geniuses, right? You know, an IQ of 168 is pretty good. But you don't have to have an IQ above 10, folks, to know this. Because this is not given intellectually. This is not given through wisdom of the world. This comes through the wisdom of God. This comes through the Holy Spirit indwelling you. Remember I told you the Holy Spirit moves in, folks. It's not like God saves you and says, now boy, I hope you make it. I hope you get there. Now try to do the best you can. He knew better than that. Because he said, remember what did he say about the flesh? The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Remember, what did he say about the law? He said, for what the law could not do in that the flesh was weak. He knew you couldn't keep his law. He knew I couldn't keep his law. Then what did he say? God. Remember I said, it's a good thing God made a move. God sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, to condemn sin in the flesh. That's what he's done for us. That's what he's done for us. These are blessings, folks. I got to thinking about this week. You know, sometimes we think of blessings. And I will tell you, look, and I'm not being braggadocious, please. God knows I would never do that. I would never do that. God has blessed me beyond anything I could ever think. I can remember a time when my wife and I can remember her saying it. Boy, if we can just make $500 this month, we can pay our bills. God's taken me so far above that, folks, I can't tell you. And it truly is a blessing. But that blessing will end. One of these days they'll roll old Tom right up there. I've told you just where I'm going to be. And by the way, you better be here too. Now if you've come today, when they roll me up there, I want you right there. They're going to roll me up there. And all the blessings that God's blessed me with on this life, they'll be done. But them real blessings. You know what you can say? Boy, is he blessed now. That old boy's got a blessed look on his face. Yeah. Don't come up there and say he looks natural, for crying out loud. Don't say, don't he look good? I look good now, don't I? I mean, I look good now. Yeah. I don't look good stretched out. But he says, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. When we're released in this, the creation released. When God reveals us, he says in Revelations, behold. What do you think about this? He says, I make all things new. And I've told you why he does that, haven't I? Who remembers? Why does he make all things new? Well, yeah, that's true. It's a new earth and a new heaven, but why don't he just keep what he's got? Well, you better believe it is. I took you back to Genesis where he says, listen, in the day you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. And then what did he say to Adam? Adam, from here on, you're going to earn a living by the sweat of your brow, and the thistles and the thorns. How many of you plants a garden? Well, I can't get my hand. I better not put my hand out. I apologize, folks. I wasn't trying to act like I did. I was just trying to get you to raise your hand if you did. I go over to my brother. See, he's a garden man, I tell you that. Well, used to be. He's not what he used to be. But he's, you know, he's sort of okay. But if you plant that garden, now think about this. You go out there with your tiller. I know how to do it. I'm not very good at things like that. I'm good at what I do. And I don't try to do things I don't do. That's why I call the man ain't be. I'm calling Ray. Anytime I need something now, and I'm calling Ray. Ray, get over here. I need you. But you take that tiller and you till that soil. And you get that ground all ready, don't you? And then you come out there, boy, and I tell you, and you put them seeds. I've seen it on TV, so I know what I'm talking about. And you put them seeds and them plants in there, them tomato plants and the cucumbers and the squash and all that stuff. And, boy, I tell you, you step back when you get done, and, boy, don't it look good. I mean, you say, what a beautiful garden I've put out. Well, I'm going to tell you what. If you don't get back in that garden, bless God, I'll tell you in 2 months, you won't recognize that garden. You know why? Because the weeds and the thistles and stuff will have overtaken that garden and choked out everything you did. Because the earth is cursed. The earth is cursed. That's why you have to get out there and dig the weeds up. We're cursed until we know Christ. The earth is cursed until Christ returns. And then he's going to make all things new. And he's going to do that because it wouldn't be fitting to put a new person in an old earth. Remember, he says you don't take new wine and put it in an old bottle. That wouldn't make any sense. So he's going to make a place. It's going to be just like Eden. It's going to be a perfect place. You won't ever be at another funeral. Ballad will be out of business. Brennan will be out of a job.
He won't need a job.
Becky will be out of a job. There won't be sickness. There won't be sorrow. Psychiatrists won't be needed. Psychologists won't be needed. There won't be any therapists. We'll be back to where God intended us. It took everything he had, his own son, to get us there. But if you'll trust in him, if you'll believe in him, I'm telling you, he'll make sure you're there. You won't get yourself there. He'll get you there. In that place. And it says this earth now is groaning. Is groaning. Y'all know what groaning means, don't you? It means something's bothering you down inside. Do you ever wonder why we have earthquakes, folks? Now, I know the scientists are going to tell you one thing. They can believe what they want to believe. I'll believe what I want to believe. Do you know why we have tornadoes and hurricanes? The curse. This earth, this creation, the atmosphere, the heavens that you see, it's cursed. But one day, can you imagine? When he just says, I make it all new. I make it all new. Who went to Hawaii? I went there one time on my way to Vietnam. Stopped over to get gas in the plane. That's the last time I ever been to Hawaii. Boy, it's nice, so. I tell you what, I stepped out of that plane for just a minute. Oh, it's nice. Then they said, get back in the plane somewhere, leave. I never got to go back. Next thing I knew, I was in the hospital in Guam. I don't even know where Guam is, but that's where I was. I don't even know where I was now. This creation. Want to be new, but only for new people. What did he say to Nicodemus? Oh, Nicodemus, you must be born again. That word again means from above, because Nicodemus didn't understand. Remember, he said, what, can I enter my mother's womb again? And he said, oh no, Nicodemus, except you be born of water and of spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's his law, folks. God's not going to break that. Not for one person, not for 10 people. I don't care what your circumstances are in this life. I don't care where you live in this world. I don't care where you're at on the ladder, whether you're down low, up high. It doesn't make a difference to God. He puts you wherever you are. It's whether you're born again or not. I know the world laughs at that. I know the world scoffs at that, folks. I do. But there'll come a day they won't scoff. There'll come a day they won't laugh. You've heard that old saying, I'm going to wipe that smile right off your face. Huh? Yeah. I had a boy tell me that one time. You know what the next thing I had? Was a frown. He did just exactly what he said he's going to do. He knocked that grin right off my face. You know what? I never did grin to him again. One of these days, folks. And that's how serious it is. When creation is new. But here's the good part, and then I'll be done. My clock's not up, so I have no idea what time it is. I guess it's about time to quit because all the kids is coming in. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also. Now, if you're not groaning and travailing in pain, you don't know Christ. It's just that simple, folks. It's not complicated. It's not complicated. If you're not looking for a better place, if you don't know that you're going to a better place, you are not groaning and you're not travailing inside of you to get there. It's that simple. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Corinthians says that we're going to have a body that is fashioned like unto his glorious body. 1 John says it this way. Behold, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear. Oh, and that's that groaning, and that's that travailing, folks. We're just waiting for him, longing for him. When he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. He's not a myth. He's not a religion. He's God. He's God. And it would behoove every individual to believe him. Well, we're done today. And I can't tell you how much you've made my day. Thank you.